Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Visual art meets classical music in this weekend's performance by the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. The orchestra performs pictures at an exhibition as part of an overall look at the synergy between art forms. For a preview of the program, we're joined in the studio now by Maestro Delta David Geyer and visual choreographer Adrian Wired. Maestro Geyer, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Adrian, nice to meet you in person. I've seen your work, but I've not ever been able to meet you. So welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much.
All right, let's talk about the overall, this combining of seeing with your ears and hearing with your eyes and merging these two things in this beautiful artistic collision.
Well, so all three of the pieces on this weekend's concert were inspired by visual art. Some of them personally, like Mazursky's picture at an exhibition was actually inspired by art, pieces of art by his friend who was a visual artist. But this is part of the larger mission of the South Dakota Symphony to connect more deeply to the community. And so we have visual artists from the professionals in town, through every age of our educational system. Like on Monday, we're going to have 5,000 third graders come through the hall, and they've all created their own art in response to Mazursky's piece. You know,
wow.
So we're going to it's the hall will be filled with visual art and the music that is inspired by it.
Right. And one of the great things about Adrian's history is that it's not just art, it's not just music, it's also science and your background in the sciences. Tell us a little bit about how you come to visual choreography, which probably wasn't something that existed when you were, going to college. Tell me a little bit about your background and how that morphed into what you're doing today.
It's true. The sciences have a little bit of a role in explaining how I got to be here today. Actually, the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra and Maestro here were key in my starting in this new business, because I was here 4 years ago when they performed The Planets. And The Planets by Gustav Holst, which I provided a visual accompaniment for back then too. And how that came about is a mutual friend of ours, the music director for a symphony up in Seattle where I'm based, was going to perform The Planets, and he had me review some of the options for visuals that people had done before, because he knew I had a strong science background, which is true. I'm one of these people who spend way too much of my spare time on websites learning about the latest development in astronomy and the like. So I had a go at reviewing the various options and was not impressed. They seemed quite unambitious to me. And I reported back, and he said, well, why don't you try and do better? Because I do have a history in the visual arts, too, and video. And I said, there's no way I have time. Nevertheless, the bug was placed. And so I did develop something for the Northwest Symphony Orchestra in 2014. And then more came, and I took it on the road, and I was happy to come perform, join the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. So there's the science connection. But for the piece this weekend, there isn't a strong science connection. Now, what I do is technically sophisticated in all kinds of ways. The way it comes, the way it's produced, the way it's performed, there's a lot of technology involved. But ultimately, in the ears of the audience and the eyes of the audience, that technology is really behind the scenes. It's just an enabling part. It's like the skill of the musicians. It's a sense you can't do it without it, but ultimately, it's just part of the picture.
Right. So if you're in the audience and if you're the conductor, you're conducting the musicians, and you're also conducting the person who is. So it's not just like an automatic, hit play on the slideshow. Explain us a little bit, Maestro Geyer, about how this all comes together in a performance.
Well, this is what's unique about what Adrian is doing, because a lot of times if there's a visual track that goes with a symphonic performance, the conductor has to actually adhere to a click track that's, you put a bug in your ear and it like gives you the beat or some sort of visual cue. But Adrian actually manipulates the images in real time. So I'm not even thinking about him. I'm conducting the music and he's responding to what I'm doing, which is frankly, refreshing.
It's kind of how it should be in that sense.
In control of everything? Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. Adrian, the musicality of that, though, the difference of what ends up being created really has to do with, with musicality, with how it's all put in. It's not rigid. Explain to me why that matters to you.
It's true. This was my main criticism of the various options I reviewed way back in 2014. There is an easy conclusion you can come to, which is desperately false, which is if you have a nice hall, you have some competent musicians, and you have a screen, that if you put something on that screen, you have added to the experience. Mm-hmm. And that is desperately wrong. There are many ways that you can detract from the musical performance. You can distract people. And this was what I saw failing. There were examples of people who produced a nice video to go with a singular performance of, in this case, the Planet Suite. But there's no conductor who's ever going to follow that timing, so things got out of sync. And, you know, at the time, people just supposedly shrugged their shoulders and said, well, if the video ends too soon, it fades to black, or if the orchestra finishes too soon, then we just... you just let it happen, but that's not something that's acceptable, I think, to most people. A little insight. I've been doing this a long time now, and I've had quite a long time to muse about the philosophy behind it. But it really comes down to one thing, which is recognizing that what's on the screen really serves as an instrument or an orchestra section. Ultimately, we do integrate what we see and what we hear. That's just experience happens that way. And so it is quite possible for what's on the screen to be certainly out of time. If something percussive in the music happens and something percussive, like a flash, for example, doesn't happen on screen, then you'll unconsciously notice that there was something missing there, and especially the other way around. I often talk about what I do is quite analogous to like a percussion section, because and you imagine having a timpanist that's out of time. You know,
you at physically behind?
We don't know. We're going to go to the hall. So,
you're watching him. You're watching the conductor. You're watching the percussionist. You're watching the musicians. Where are your eyeballs?
Yeah, so I will. I am always watching the baton. My role is very much analogous.
That was the right answer.
Yes, my role is very much analogous to a performer, even though I'm not strictly I'm not trained in the musical arts in the same way that our company is here. But sure. So I am often, my preference is to be on stage, and technically that's often the case, and we will find out this afternoon if that's possible.
Tell me about Pictures at an Exhibition and a little bit about the relationship between artist and music and composer way back when it was first conceived.
Well, that particular piece, Modest Mussorgsky, Russian composer, one of the Russian Five, part of the sort of nationalist movement across Europe. You know, you think of Grieg in Norway. You know, this is Dvorak and Bohemia. These are composers who express their national identity through the music that they composed. So Mussorgsky was one of those people, but he had a friend, Victor Hartmann, who was a visual artist, and he imagined the piece is an imagining of one person going to a gallery and this an exhibition of his friend's works and going from... So it's a series of small pieces, each one inspired by a particular... either the artwork or sketches for an artwork. Mm-hmm. And there it's connected by what he calls promenades. So these are musical themes of us, processing through a gallery and coming and standing in front of a painting and contemplating it, and then promenading, moving from to the next painting and hearing another one.
And if you've never been to the symphony before, now is a really good time to go, because some of these are things that are familiar.
Yes, absolutely.
Like I could start singing right now what I remember from, because we played something in marching band. Or, whatever. Right. There's themes that you've heard in different places, and this is the full expression of that entire suite.
Right. And yeah. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer did Pictures of an Exhibition, right. too, yeah. back in the 70s. This is familiar music. And this is probably the most user-friendly concert on our classical series this year. In the sense that, with the visuals are accompanying and the music is very colorful and bright and so on. So I would say that, if If you know people that want to dip their toe into the classical music world, I mean, I don't think there's a better concert than this one.
Right. How do you begin, Adrian, taking this piece of music and this visual art and then coming up with something new for the audience and really adding your own artistic expression to it?
Yes, yes. You cannot help but add something to it. But in this case, unlike other pieces I've done, including The Planets, the origins of this piece comes with a particular storyline, a particular narrative. You know, the overarching theme here is a visit to a gallery that is holding an exhibit to celebrate the untimely death of his friend, you know, Victor Hartmann. So there's a little bit of melancholy throughout the whole thing, a little bit of sort of a remembrance. And as we've heard, the whole thing is structured as a visit to a gallery. And so there are pieces that are titled after works that Victor wrote, that Mussorgsky depicted in sound form. And of course, the original piece was for piano. And what we're going to hear tonight is the orchestration interpretation of the piano piece by Maurice Ravel. So we have a storyline which I do follow. So there is a visit. We will go on as an audience. We'll go visit a gallery, actually in St. Petersburg. It's the Imperial Academy of Art, which I will show. We'll go there. And now, of course, that's if you were in the know and you heard Mussorgsky's piece or the Ravel piece, then you would know about that. But actually, we get to see it. And we get to see depictions of the artwork. A great deal of the artwork has been lost, which actually is a great shame, but also gives me latitude to add my own interpretation.
Yeah.
And so my role is to bring, much like Mussorgsky did, is to bring these pieces of visual art, 2D static art, into some sort of dynamic life, initially for piano and then the orchestration. And now I take that and depict it dynamically in video on the screen as the music progresses.
How well do you know that piece now?
Well, I know it inside and out. There's no way to avoid listening to these pieces hundreds and hundreds of times. And
his friend dies at, what, like 39? Do I remember that correctly? Very young death for Victor Hartmann.
Yeah, I forgot.
It's in the notes in the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra program guide.
Mm-hmm.
That they go on a walk together, and he has chest pain. And he says, "No, you're fine. Keep walking." And then later that day, he has a heart attack. So there's a lot of melancholy in this entire mm-hmm. story. Mm-hmm. Who writes those program notes? Anna.
Anna Voorhees.
Thank
you.
Yeah. Tell me about the Rothko, please, as well as there's more to the program than pictures
right.
with an
so,
exhibition.
Yeah. So we'll begin with a piece by Paul Hindemith, a very important composer from the first part of the 20th century, German, but emigrated to America, taught at Yale for many years. He wrote a piece called Matthias der Maler, which is Matthias the painter. And the artist is Matthias Grunewald, the Eisenheim altarpiece, a very famous piece of art. Three movements. The altarpiece actually unfolds into three sections. And so each of the movements of Hindemith's suite are based on one of those, you know, unfoldings. And we'll have a visual track to this. Adrian, this is not something that Adrian has put together. We put together basically a PowerPoint, you know, that shows each of the art, each of the pieces of art that's relevant to the movement that we're playing, but then also a lot of detail mm-hmm. from Grunewald's art will be on screen above as well. And then we have a piece called Finding Rothko by a living composer, Adam Schoenberg, who he's still fairly young. I think he's under 40. He based it on four pieces of Mark Rothko. So we had the option of showing those pieces of Rothko, but instead we decided to invert the whole exercise. And we have Joe Schaefer, who's an artist in residence at Rehfeld's, and he's going to create a work of art simultaneously within the 15 minutes of this piece.
So excited about that.
Right. So he's got a canvas that's 6 feet high by 15 feet long.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in front of the orchestra, and he's going to fill it in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So in response to the music, like, so he's been listening to this piece and he's already got these ideas of what he's, how he's going to do it, which is pretty exciting.
So bold and so remarkable. The concert 7:30, November 23rd, that Saturday, and then a family concert on the 24th.
Yes, with, family. All tickets are $10 on Sunday afternoon at 2:30. Kids are free.
All right. And I will say with Adrian's work, and you know, we're 20 seconds, but you look up Adrian, you do any research on him, and the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra comes up as part of this. It goes into this whole broader thing of what does an orchestra mean in a community? Mm. What does an orchestra mean for artists in the country? What does it mean for art right now? Yep. Part of this ongoing dialogue.
Beautiful.
Exciting stuff. Thank you so much, Delta David Geyer and Adrian Weyer. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.